Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, I'm John Ramos, and welcome to VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio Program. Here in the studio to encourage you and also those who are listening and viewing on the Gulf Coast and all around the world is Pat Hamilton.
He has lost it already.
Okay. Pat, are you present?
He's with us.
I'm here.
Maybe he's holding back that.
I don't know.
You okay?
Something we may have missed out on.
And Steve Kolesheski.
Good day, sir.
All right. Pat, you're with us?
Teary-eyed. He is present. This is good. Let it out, man. Let it out.
You're okay. Wow. Can we get camera here? You all right? You okay?
No, come on.
This is interesting.
This is
good. Interesting.
I have not seen him laughing that hard in this long time.
Why are you muted? Why is he muted?
I don't know.
Get your hand off that thing.
No. See, you got to watch
get
out for that.
Get your hand off
he
that
so
thing.
Effectively uses the mute button.
No, go ahead.
he's got nothing.
Talk to us. You all right?
That's okay. Compose yourself. Deep breaths.
I haven't seen...
This is good.
I haven't seen that face move in all these different... I didn't know your face could move like that.
Man.
Where's my phone? Where's my iPhone? I need to record
it. We got to take captures of that. I mean, those are full teary eyes right there.
Wow. Wow. This is precious. This is precious.
he's looking...
What is going on?
I don't know. I missed something.
Are you moved? Is the Holy Spirit on? What's going on there, Pat?
More Lord.
Talk to us.
More Lord.
Those Touch listening, they want to know.
Touch
I mean,
Lord.
You okay?
Yeah,
wow.
John,
wow.
How you doing? It's good
hey,
to see you.
Steve, I'm glad you're on the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Fantastic. We need to get him some support and get him going here today.
Can we get our water here? Can we get water, please?
Yeah, fresh him. Yeah, get some water.
We're
going to come back to ask you a couple questions. Maybe about air. We're going to get ready for you. We're getting ready. We're stacking up.
Oh,
and Chris
precious.
Back there thinks he doesn't have a mic. But
he doesn't.
We're not going to leave you out. We're going to include you.
You are involved,
in
sir.
Well, what I want to talk about as Pat is joining us and getting himself.
I'm here.
Oh, you're back.
Hey!
You're back.
Good day, sir.
And you want to talk to us about how you're doing?
I'm fine.
Oh. He's just fine. Apparently, what? All of that's normal. He's fine.
Wow. Where's the camera? Can we get a picture of the? We need this on the torch. We need this on the torch because this is. They're not going to look.
He is undone right now.
What is going on here? He has his hand. If you can't see, he has his hand over his head. He's flexing his muscle. What are you? What's going on? This is a program we're trying to do here.
I'm trying to save up with this.
Wow. Okay. All right, Steve. Let's get back to this.
It's good to see you again.
Let's get back to this. But we want to talk about a recent article that was published in Forbes magazine about how the Internet of Things will rule your workday in 2020. I mean, this is kind of how things are evolving.
Yeah.
But again, the title is called How the Internet of Things Will Rule Your Workday in 2020 and kind of paints a picture. An infographic is basically some artwork, some graphics with some data on it displayed in an interesting way so that you can kind of read through some information. And so we're going to make sure that this is available for you on the torch that you can look at it yourself. But what they did is put these graphics together with you know, showing a person, a fictitious person named Charlie. We'll talk about Charlie. But, you know, technology has changed so much of what we do on any given day. Just when you think we're at a new normal, get ready because another ceiling is coming. But this is what this infographic says. By the end of this decade, there will be more deeply, the world will be more deeply and intimately connected place with an estimated 7.3 billion smartphones. Now, understand that today there's 7 billion people in the world, but in another what?
I guess some have
5 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in another 5 years,
wow,
there will be 7.3 billion smartphones, tablets, and PCs, according to Gartner. And the Internet of Things will expand at an even more rapid rate to 26 billion connected devices around the globe,
wow,
by 2020. Understand that the Internet, so far as we know it, is here to stay. Things can change. We've heard of, we're hearing prophetically things can happen to the Internet, but these are projections. A 30-fold increase over 2009.
Wow.
Now, what they want to do in this infographic is walk us through a day in the life of Charlie, an employee, what his life is like in the year 2020. So they have Charlie sitting here in this designed house here, and he's sleeping in his bed. And the first thing they show us, step one, is he gets a wake-up notification at 6 a.m. on his cell phone. At 6 a.m., and Charlie's smartphone receives an email informing him that his 8 a.m. meeting has been pushed back.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. His email service tells his smart clock to give him an extra 30 minutes of sleep. How nice is that?
Wow.
And alerts
him. Is that how that
works,
Steve? Is that what you do?
Nah, not quite, no.
I'd be nice to Steve. There's a segment coming up. I'd be nice to Steve.
Oh.
Anyhow.
I'm totally ready.
Oh, see, he's always ready.
He's preparing himself.
I was just warming up.
So, the smart clock gives him an extra 30 minutes to sleep and alerts him to the change when he awakes. I mean, how nice is that? So, 6 a.m.,
wow,
you're not sleeping at 6. His notification comes in, meeting's been pushed, and just
go
because you're
bed.
So nice, you're going to get an extra 30 minutes.
How about that?
Wow.
That wouldn't work in my world because I got to go up and abide. But this is Charlie's world. So now we see Charlie in the infographic stepping outside of his home. And step two here is as Charlie gets ready to go, his car starts and sets his preferred interior temperature. He's not in the car yet.
Wow.
Charlie's not in the car yet. The car starts.
By itself.
By itself. Understand this. I mean, right now they're fitting these brand new cars with Wi-Fi and all kinds of stuff.
Well, we're seeing it now where you can have that push to start. You're not even in it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Preferred interior temperature. That's amazing.
How about that?
Yeah, they have that a lot up north. People don't want to start their car up in the cold.
I can understand that.
Hit that thing
That's
up.
Huge.
But now, I mean, set the temperature inside the car. Probably your favorite song and your music is playing.
Mm-hmm.
All, you know, technologically based. Now, he begins his commute. Talking to Charlie here in this future 2020, what his life is like as an employee.
Mm-hmm.
So he's commuting and he's going through rush hour traffic. And rush hour traffic actually is a thing of the past because he has a connected vehicle which minimizes traffic and even more importantly, accidents. Charlie's driverless car coordinates with traffic lights and other driverless vehicles to find the most efficient route. His car is one of 152 million connected cars on the road. Now we haven't even gotten to the rest of Charlie's day, but I can see a problem with this.
Yeah.
That's kind of scary.
152 million connected
Charlie's
vehicles.
Charlie's not driving.
Yeah.
That's a serious problem.
That's a serious problem. Charlie's not driving, and the Internet of Things is controlling his car as it relates to other cars that are connected on this grid.
Right.
And also traffic lights. And so the car is able to identify there's traffic. There's a whole lot of blinking lights in this area. And in fact, there's one or two blinking lights that have completely stopped in the middle of a road that's supposed to keep going, probably indicating an accident.
Right.
So Charlie's car is going to interpret that and reroute him and get him to work as he probably is playing on his phone or something as the car is being driven seamlessly.
Now, thinking about that as far as how technology can be so integrated with automobiles, I had ran into somebody before, and they had a rental car. And they were in America driving around, and I don't know which company they were with, but they had gotten, I would venture to say, in close proximity, close to the Mexican border. And the car shut down. The car just turned off. They were driving, but the car turned off. And apparently the, I forget the actual company where it's like the blue thing comes on, where it's like if you have a question, you can hit the button, and they'll talk
OnStar?
To you.
OnStar.
Oh.
And they had said that you're in close, or you're getting too close to the border. You need to turn around.
Wow.
And
wow.
I was
shame,
just like,
a shame Sergeant Tamarisi didn't have that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. But, my goodness. But the significance of what I'm saying in that is that technology can easily be seen where the technology can basically override your ability to drive the car.
Yep. That's what Charlie's finding out right now. Because he's not driving.
No.
The car's driving.
Apparently he's sleeping.
Yeah. Sleeping, or who knows what he's doing in that vehicle. But
that extra 30 minutes.
As he continues, no, he was in that 30 minutes before he left.
Oh, yeah, before he got in the car.
You need to follow this infographic.
I gotcha.
Again. All right. So in the vehicle has the in-vehicle Wi-Fi. Not the Wi-Fi that's on his phone or the Wi-Fi that's at his house. Or the Wi-Fi that's neighbored, you know, in the community, because some cities now have Wi-Fi in the vehicle Wi-Fi, which means the car has its own Wi-Fi. It allows Charlie to catch up on work emails. That's what Charlie's doing. He's catching up on work emails. 90% of new cars will have a connected platform. This is talking about 2020, but we know today in 2014, this is already happening.
Yeah.
Cars have their own Wi-Fi, new cars that are being rolled out, and it's here. So he's catching up on emails as he's being driven to work by his own driverless chauffeur. I mean, think of how they're going to sell this. I mean, listen, now everyone can have a piece of luxury. Long gone are the days where you needed to pay for a personal chauffeur.
Right.
Your vehicle now has a chauffeur inside of it. You can drive with ease of pain. You don't know how to get there? No problems. Your car take care of it. You don't know how to drive? No problem. Your car take care of it. My goodness. And all that time you could have been spending reading your emails from the comfort of your home? No worry. You can read your emails in the car now. Because the driverless car will take care of it.
Wow.
Are we going to learn anything in 2020? What are we going to learn to do? Because we're not going to learn how to drive. We're not going to learn how to, you know. This is interesting. So he pulls into the parking lot. As he approaches the office, the GPS data and parking sensor guides Charlie's car to the nearest parking spot. I mean, Charlie doesn't even have to, like, say, okay, I'll take over from here. You know what I'm saying? I'll put my own vehicle in the parking lot and park it. The car. Now, listen, you may live like in Indiana or Omaha or North Dakota where there's, you know, I don't know, maybe plenty of parking. But this would be particularly interesting to me to see. I'm 42nd Street, you know, in the Bronx somewhere. You know, this would be an interesting thing. I wonder if the GPS could perceive potholes, you know what I'm saying, chunks of road missing. Right. I'd be really impressed at that point. But for right now, we understand in this infographic that Charlie's car is being parked by the driverless car using Wi-Fi. When we get back from this break, you're going to find out what else Charlie's able to do at work and how the Internet of Things is going to change many people's lives in 2020. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Greg Lancaster. I'm looking at a freshly shaved Pat over here.
Very fresh.
How are you doing today?
Lighter.
My day's tomorrow. They are getting new string for the weed eater. And
dude, I was so desperate. I actually let somebody else do it because my lady wasn't there.
That's desperate.
I was desperate.
Did you let Tracy cut it?
No. Older lady. I don't think she could see real good.
That's
I got like a hole here, hole here.
No, it's called humility.
And I got
What's
a scar.
God saying?
And a scar.
I'm just saying. Let's have it. I think we have scars in all the same places.
Same exact places. On my shin, on my head.
Everything you said about me, right?
Oh, Lord, I repent.
I'm smart. You know, I'm intelligent.
That's right.
So say some stuff. Say some positive stuff.
There you go.
That's
all
I know, right?
You can't even think.
I'm smart and intelligent.
And beautiful.
The audience is shouting. He's beautiful too. He's beautiful. He's beautiful. He's beautiful too.
Yes.
You're listening.
listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we've been talking about, if you're just joining us, basically how the Internet of Things will rule your workday in 2020. And we're looking at an infographic that we're going to make available for you on the Torch. Mm-hmm. And we are taking a day in the life of a fictitious person named Charlie as this graphic is moving us along his day, from alerting him that his meeting was pushed back via email to 8 o'clock, and he can get some extra half hour of sleep, to car starting up and driving itself to work, and even parking on its own. I mean,
that's what I need right there.
Yeah, to park that big limousine, but we're not going to go there right now. Now, Charlie's at work. Wow. In his work at a nonprofit, Charlie uses cognitive computing system. Spell that one. The system, modeled after the human brain, learns from the experiences to make decisions. This is not far-fetched. Ray Kurzweil, who is working with Google now, I believe wrote a book, How to Make the Brain or something like that. We need to find that book. We'll make it related for you. But they're making a computer to operate like a brain, to think for you. It analyzes everything that you say, the emails. It watches your behavior. And it's going to get to the point where the computer, when you turn it off, it's going to actually talk back to you and say, don't turn me off. It's going to know that you're about to turn it off, because it watches your behavior. And before you hit the power button, it's going to talk back to you and say, don't turn me off, because every night at 10 o'clock, you turn the computer off and go to bed. In fact, they made a movie called Her, and my understanding, did not see the movie. The trailer was just too weird. But my understanding, just watching the trailer, that the man in the movie actually had a relationship with his cell phone, and it was talking back to him. This is weird. We cannot, this is, technology is good, but we have to know how to make technology submit to us. God has called us to have relationship with human beings, not digital people, images of things.
It's significant, too, how in the beginning it says the fact that the world is going to be interconnected and intimately related. And it's just like, through technology, we've got to be connected to people and relationships.
Yes.
And not be able to conversation with those to our left and right.
Not holograms either, because those are coming. Holograms are coming. Hologram meetings are coming. Mm-hmm. And hologram is just basically like an image that shows up in your room of a person talking, but it's not really them. Listen, we have to be connected with people, as Steve was saying. Now, this computer that he's working on, which is a cognitive computing system. Not even a computer. It's a cognitive computing system. Maybe we won't have computers. We'll have cognitive computing system. Okay. Charlie's system monitors the world's water supply and issues recommendations based on its findings. See, Charlie's not going to have to think.
He's not really doing anything.
He's not thinking. Charlie's not thinking. He's just learning to do what the computer does, okay? 6 years ago, Charlie received his degree in business intelligence analytics, which continues to be a hot IT skill. Now, we think about this and laugh about this, but recently I spoke with a doctor who told me, and I was surprised at this, that American doctors, in this doctor's opinion, don't know as much. This doctor was trained in another country, where they, in Latin American countries, where she continues to explain that you have nothing but hands-on experience there. I mean, you're not like, running to the cardiologist. You're not running to the pain doctor. You are the pain doctor. You are the cardiologist. You are everything. And through, trial and error, I guess, because they're practitioners. They practice. They practice medicine. They have the opportunity to see more and more patients. They're able to see symptoms. They're able to see what they're able to prescribe and see if it works. Mm-hmm. and that those doctors are well more prepared. Because you think about the healthcare system in Cuba, I've heard they've had pretty good healthcare system for a country that's still driving cars from the 1950s.
I remember running across a commercial that had an advancement in technology, and it talked about the different generations and people of doctors responding, and they had technology where it's just like they just applied a system and they gave all the answers.
Yeah. That's so important, because what the doctor was telling me was that today in the hospitals in America, they're just like looking at information, sending it off to this person to read. They can't really tell you as much because they're just, okay, well, we're going to run this to the lab.
They're all specialists.
Yeah, we're going to run this to somewhere else. We're going to run that, and then whatever the report tells us, we're going to come back and tell you. Now, I'm not minimizing doctors' intelligence and what they know. I'm just what I'm highlighting here. It's basically a conversation that a doctor told me. But we're seeing this in Charlie. Charlie's not really interpreting anything. The computer's interpreting everything.
Yeah.
So the other thing we learn about Charlie is that he's tasked with a new type of data analysis that he's never done before. The software on his computer recognizes this and offers a step-by-step tutorial for the process, also suggesting he seek advice from a coworker who's done that type of analysis many times. I mean, you've never done it before, but that's no problem, because my computer's going to tell me how to do it, and it's going to suggest that I visit that person down the hallway because they've done it. I mean, look at this technology. Step 3, Charlie forgets his tablet in the conference room. Oh, what a problem. But quickly finds it because it is its embedded beacon sensor can communicate its exact location. Now, I'll tell you, I mean, this thing right here for sanguines, I mean, this can be, this is a benefit. I mean, listen,
this
you lose your keys.
Name all over.
You lose your tablet.
Does it attach to your keys?
And I like to say that, I didn't lose it. I just misplaced or actually forgot where I strategically placed it. Because I knew that I put it down.
Where you strategically
placed
it.
Absolutely. Mm. So I can see where this little technology can provide some sort of benefit. Yeah. So now Charlie is done with his work day, and he's on his way home. He's leaving his job. And on his way home, Charlie's smartphone alerts him to a 30% off sale at his favorite store, Pat. And he is 19 times more likely to interact with retailer after receiving the alert and heads to the mall. Understand that this technology is already here and it's already happening.
Mm-hmm.
They have this, and I don't have that app for you to tell you right now. I apologize, but they have it right now where you walk into a certain vicinity and because of other stores that are on this type of network, they will text you and let you know because they know that you're on that block or on that street. If you come into Starbucks now, we'll give you 30% off a cup of coffee. And so people will sign up for this service because they're going to get something for it. You realize, well, why do I want to know that, I don't want to receive texts or emails about a store when I'm leaving. Oh, yes, you do if they're offering you 50% off. Oh, yes, you do if it's buy one, get one free of your favorite item. Oh, yeah, of course I need a cupcake right now. Of course I need it. Yeah, they have CR readers and things like that where you can, clip on. But that's something that you have to actually snap.
Okay.
This is something that's automatically sent to you. It's recognizing that your dot is walking down Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
And Starbucks is on Main Street. And they want you to come on in or whatever the store is. This is real. This is happening right now. But this is going to happen even more. I mean, you're going to see all sorts of advertisements. Well, Charlie continues to go. And at the mall, Charlie scans the barcode of the suit. The barcode of the suit on display, and the store's digital inventory system ensures his size is in stock and is altered to his exact measurements. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about how this is going to help Pat, because Pat likes to shop in the stores, but he doesn't like to waste his time. He wants to know that his favorite shoe is there at his size. Listen, we'll be more when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's author, speaker, and mother of three, Tracy Bianchi, suggesting that you may need to replace that mirror on the wall.
One of the statements I hear when people start talking about vocation and profession or hobbies, I'll often hear women say, well, I'm just a mom. Mm. And I invite them to drop that qualifier. There is no such thing as, right, quote, just a, yeah, mom. You are a mom, and you are a woman who is raising these children, and you're doing the best with the blessings you've been given. But I also invite women to make a list of the things that they are good at, that they are passionate about, that have nothing to do with their children.
You're more than just a mom, so cultivate those passions and giftings that you have, because your mirror is much bigger than you might think. You can hear more from Tracy Bianchi today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
Don't forget, it's the weekend. You know what that means? It's the VFN Radio Marathon Weekend. That's when you get a chance to listen to back-to-back radio programs that were aired this week. Yeah, you know what? The weekend is busy. You may be in different places, but I like to say that it's VFN Radio on the go. Just like on the app, you can listen to VFN Radio all weekend long because it's the Marathon Weekend. Don't miss it. Get plugged in. Don't forget, VFN Radio Marathon Weekend.
Send a little lamb to the shepherd boy. Do you hear what I hear?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve, and we're talking about a day in the life of a fictitious person named Charlie, but not too fictitious, because in this article that we are reading, this infographic, How the Internet of Things Will Rule Your Workday in 2020, they're showing us through graphic and through imagery, and which we'll make available for you on the torch so that you can see for yourself what it will be like for this fictitious employee named Charlie, who from the time he leaves his house to the time he arrives to work, what he does at work, and even as he heads home, how technology will influence so many things in his life. And you think about today, I mean, how much your cell phone, I mean, this technology, and particularly what Apple has been able to do, because, you know, Apple was first to market and they revolutionized this whole thing, even when they started with the iPod. And I remember looking at the iPod thinking, you know, because up until this point, electronics really were not built, in my opinion, to last with superior excellence. A lot of these electronics, you know, they were designed to kind of wear out after a while and, you know, get another camera, get another radio, yeah, get another CD player. Yeah, they just, you know, weren't made that way. So when I saw that the iPod was made for the first time with a battery built inside that you couldn't take out, I mean, up until this point, everyone knows, hello, batteries die. And anything that you have to charge up, we've all had rechargeable batteries that they work in the beginning, but then, of course, they die out. So my mindset was like, oh, that's not going to win. I'm not getting that, because if I can't, I like to replace this battery based on prior knowledge. But who knew that technology would work so excellent? And to this day, I've never heard of anyone say, you know, my battery died in my iPod years ago and then I just couldn't fix it. No, they work. They work for a lifetime. And this is something that's used all the time. But then Apple pushed the envelope and said, we're not only going to let you just use an iPod where you can carry music. And actually, the technology is called MP3 player. But because they were the first to market, everyone says, put it on your iPod. And I really thought they were onto something when I wanted to buy one for my wife for Christmas some years back. And I went to go get one. And I said, well, let me look at what all the MP3 players had to offer. And, you know, let me just evaluate and compare them, because I wanted to get her, you know, a nice one. I wanted to bless her with something really nice that she was going to use. And I put them all, you know, went to the store and checked them all out. And I was amazed that after several years of the iPod coming out and all these other MP3 players from Magnavox, Sony, you name all of them, they still couldn't come close to what the iPod was produced. They were made out of plastic. They were chintzy. And then you have this iPod with metal.
Metal casing.
Metal casing. Yeah. For relatively the almost the same amount of cost. Mm-hmm. And that's when I said, hey, this business, this company's earned my dollars. I'm going to go ahead and buy it. And you know what? She still has that thing today, even though she's progressed. But then they did a revolutionary thing by combining the iPod with the iPhone. Again, something that has never been done before. Mm-hmm. First to market. I mean, I've had cell phones for years. I can't tell you how many cell phones I've had. And what really started this whole thing was the PDAs, the personal assistants. Palm came out with PDAs, Palm Pilots. Yeah. That was a big thing where you can do infrared green screen and you can send information. You had to line up the Palm Pilot with someone else's Palm Pilot. It couldn't be more than like 4 inches away, and you can send information that way. And it was, you know, a personal assistant, and it was green and black screen. That was it. Yeah. But it was cool. Collapsible keyboard, the whole thing. And it was really advanced for its time. And then it progressed to Dell came out with a color Axum. And I had that, which was great because, again, it was a personal assistant and functioned as a secretary. But then Apple, again, pushed the envelope and combined the personal assistant with the phone and the iPod to create this brand new device. And again, you know, I'm like, man, that's not going to work. How are you going to connect your telephone to your PDA? Again, because my paradigm of what was already been in the market was something that was chintzy, less quality. Mm-hmm. Those cell phones would break all the time. They were designed to break exactly when the 2-year contract was up. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh no. But again, a company that was racing to put the best product on the market, and they were interested in building a brand. When we're talking about technology, we're talking about the Internet of Things, but we're kind of really recognizing companies that have really, and really Apple, where they have actually doubled their value now is like $700 billion. I mean, they're doing really well.
Unbelievable.
And unbelievable, but it's because they took this technology mountain, if you will. They took it by the horns, and they put out excellent product that literally has revolutionized society, how we interact with data, that we have the ability to text, to receive emails, to listen to music, to watch movies, to have a personal assistant. And they pushed other people completely out of the industry. You tell me today, who's buying a digital camera? Only professional photographers. Most people, right? They're buying digital cameras. But now today, you can have a digital camera with 12.1 megapixel, which before, I mean, we've bought, when digital cameras first came out.
That was huge.
You could pay $400 or $500 just for a 12.1 megapixel a couple years ago.
My first digital camera was pixels.
Yeah. One, two,
and
three,
I paid probably $200 for that thing.
Well, and today in your cell phone, you have 12.1 megapixels, which means quality.
Yeah,
which means the quality is like you can, what that means is that you can take a picture and you can blow the picture up without compromising the integrity and the quality of the picture. Mm-hmm. You can take it somewhere and actually print a poster of a picture where before,
crystal clear.
Yeah, where before you were pushing if you got an 8x10. I mean, you know, people were, now you can print your own posters. And so with development of the iPhone, with the development of the iPad, they moved into a area of the tablet, which other companies have tried to do a tablet. They tried to do it, and it failed miserably.
Mm-hmm.
And then they developed this tablet, which is, again, just revolutionizing, as you're saying, Steve. They opened up a world of apps where people can buy. So they've pushed us into this place.
Yeah.
And we're waiting for the next company, if it's Apple or somebody else, that takes our new norm, because this is our new normal. And really, they've done this within a short period amount of time, because it took the turn in 2008, if you remember. 2008 was a significant year, because it seemed like just everything just in technology just continued to just grow exponentially. And it pushed out a company like BlackBerry, who was known for professional PDAs. I mean, they're like the last hurrah. They're trying to just to survive
hang
right
on,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah, hang on.
And we've talked about exponential growth and what that means. You know, we talked about it in a previous segment. It's just like how it doubles and doubles and doubles.
Every year.
So much so as it grows, it gets that much faster. And if you're not familiar with technology and IT and the development of things, in the industry of IT, they have something basically saying every, I think it's 18 months, technology doubles, or the same technology, the cost of it is cut in half. And that's something that was shared with me when I was in college. And it blows your mind because you look at how fast technology is now, the amount of distance that we traveled in advancements. In the last year, it'll be twice as much as what is invented in the next year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show, it's just like the mindsets that we had, like you're saying, John, 10 years ago, it blows our mind to think about what we have now. It's like we can't be stuck in present mindsets, especially in technology and what's going to happen in the next 10 years.
Well, it's growing. I remember, 5 years ago, people were talking about the next big thing in technology was going to be storage. You're thinking, storage? What are you talking about? I mean, you were happy to get a computer with 6 gigs on it.
Yeah.
Now they're rolling out computers with terabytes on them. Mm-hmm. And because the reason why you needed this storage, because they already knew that these technologies were coming out, which is going to make people create data, whether it be pictures or other things, which require space. And so we're looking at a day in the life of Charlie and how he's going to be interacting in 2020. A lot of these things, believe it or not, are already present today.
Yeah.
The way technology happens, by the way, there's cutting edge technology, and then you have people that are called early adapters. They're the ones that were the first ones to get the iPods. They were the first ones to get the computer when they came out. They were the first ones to get the laptops, the iPads. Mm-hmm. And these are the people that are literally using the products, testing the products, mm-hmm. pushing them to the next level. And then the developer continues to make them better, and now more masses of people join on to something. So the technology that we're really talking about, 2020, most of this stuff is present right now. It's the early adapters that are using them till they become mainstream, and we're all using them. We all have an iPhone. We all have a smartphone. Right. And so we're talking about Charlie leaving his work, and he's getting notifications about things in the store, things that he can purchase, discounts. He went and scanned the suit, and Pat, just for you, they were able to tell him that we have his size and it's in stock. How amazing is that? Making shopping that much more simple and easier. And then finally, Charlie arrives at home. Charlie, as he settles into bed, he presses a single button that turns off the lights in the house, sets the home security system, lowers the thermostat to his preferred sleeping temperature, and takes the bed sheets and puts it all the way up to his nose. Oh my goodness, technology.
Wow.
2020. Listen, don't let technology rule your life. You be in control of that technology. And remember, whatever you input and upload, it's available for all. So you learn to get a piece of paper and a pen. Learn to read a paper Bible and abide with God on paper and pen. You know, the old-fashioned way. Some things, listen, are never worth changing, but learn to have an interactive relationship with the Lord. It's not necessarily connected to anything digital. Just you and him, some pen and paper, and a nice printed Bible.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
So what is this stuff now? I know that, Steve was leaving last night. We got a chance to spend some time together. He was in the secret place and all that. Mm-hmm. You got him some Slap Your Mama hot sauce. Is that right?
I did.
Are you serious?
I did. Yeah.
What is Slap Your Mama hot sauce? I can't believe that you would even think of your mother is so sweet.
Well, not something you actually do.
Well, actually.
What?
Mother bought her own Slap Your Mama hot sauce.
Are you serious?
She did. I was blown away. I found it in my cupboard the other night. I was like, where did this come from?
So your mother bought you Slap Your Mama.
Yeah.
Sure did. Yeah.
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
So then, I'm not going to buy any Slap Your Mama. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like Slap Your Mama. Why do they call it Slap Your Mama? Why not?
Well, there's a Southern saying, I guess you would call it.
If we get any further south, we'll be in Mexico. We're talking about Southern. I don't know about
Slap Your Mama. We'll probably Louisiana more than anything. I guess it kind of drifted over here to the east. But, when something's so good, it's just like, man,
It's so good. Just makes you want to slap your mama.
Did your mama ever get you something nice for Christmas or anything like that? That's terrible. You mean if something good happens, you slapped food. Your mother?
Well, no, food. Something that you eat.
Didn't she fix you dinner and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Was anything good?
Yeah, all the time.
Bless her heart. Bless her heart.
How many times did you slap mom?
You slapped your mother?
Never slapped her.
You said, but it's a southern way of doing things.
That's a southern saying. That's
oh, saying.
You do.
Oh.
Saying.
Shoo. Yeah, I was like, oh my goodness. I'm thinking, that's terrible.
I never knew.
Yeah. My mother would say, well, he bought that once. He bought that once. He ain't buying that no more.
Yeah, I said it to obviously. Steve one day. We were fixing to eat something. Mm-hmm. I think it was one of Christmas ribs,
actually. From Detroit Lions.
He's from Detroit. They don't have, apparently, they don't have hot sauce or anything spicy up north. So we've indoctrinated him to hot sauce since he's been here.
So what does it taste like? What does Slap Your Mama taste
it's
like?
It's just real hot, spicy, you know, Tabasco-y.
If you had to compare it to nuclear waste and...
Not quite that hot.
So it's hot, hot?
That's toxic. It's really hot, yeah.
Is it really?
You probably couldn't. You probably wouldn't like it.
Like that wasabi sauce?
Wasabi?
Wasabi?
That's a different type of sauce.
Oh, wasabi.
Oh,
wasabi.
Whoa. I love that. You're wasabi. That's very good. Chris seldom he seldom says anything wrong. We got to get the wasabi.
Yeah.
The wasabi.
We can make a segment out of that.
You spell that wasabi. So it's hotter than?
Wasabi?
Yeah.
It's a different type of heat. Wasabi will just clean your sinuses completely out if you have any problems.
Oh, we don't need any details here. What happens with your system? So why don't you just like throw a match in your mouth? I don't understand why you're doing this. I mean, if you eat,
it's just I enjoy the burn.
You're a fire swallower, like the guy in the circus where they swallow fire, right?
Not quite.
You think about it.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to me. It was Second Street.
Always goes back to Second
Street. Yeah, Second Street, or Carver. Anyway, we won't talk about Carver. So I'm looking at a bottle right now online. It is called Slap Your Mama.
Yes, it is.
But they have powder Slap Your Mama and liquid Slap Your Mama.
Yeah, I bought him both, actually.
You did?
I got him the powder and the sauce.
Well,
it's seasoning, you know, you put on your stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. Got it. Well, it was just a new thing for me. I just didn't realize. When I saw it, I said, oh, it's hot sauce. And you're telling me, like, Slap Your Mama. I should have read it. I could have bought some for my mama. That would have been terrible. Well, Steve, don't slap your mama. She's this very sweet lady. Very sweet lady.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, I want to talk about speed limits. So often I got caught up, actually. I was actually just driving the other day.
You got pulled over?
No. I got caught up just thinking.
Oh.
I do that from time to time. People know me like, yeah, he does that. And I've noticed myself, like, when I drive, you can kind of just be, like, driving, and you don't even realize that you're doing this, but you know it's 35. Mm-hmm. The intersection that you're coming up to, it's going to be 45 afterwards, so you can put it on cruise or take it off cruise, hit the brakes, know that when you get on the freeway, it goes up to 70, and it's like you're mindful of just, like, okay, I can go a little bit faster here, I can coast, I can slow down, and it's almost like you're programmed. And it's like you kind of just like shut your brain off for a moment. Like you can just kind of like, which is a good thing in some ways. Or maybe I'm kind of freaking you out. You're like, oh my goodness, do you drive like this? Some people do drive like that. Just be mindful of the yellow lines. Be mindful of the yellow
lines. Right.
But it's like as you're driving, you might not be aware that you're doing this. And it's like, but for some time, you know, if you've ever driven in an area that you're not familiar with, you're driving with somebody who's in the passenger seat.
Like Atlanta?
Yeah. And it's like, or a big area, or any metropolis area that you're in. Or even if you're in a, you know, a small rural city, if you're driving with somebody who's from the area and you're not, have you ever asked that question, hey, what's the speed limit here? And it's just like, well, all of a sudden, it's like you don't know. So it's like, okay, so you kind of slow down and you kind of look because you want to make sure that you're you know, going the right speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of it causes me to kind of just slow down in itself. And it's like, when I look at Jesus' life, he was never speeding.
No, he was never in a hurry.
He was never in a hurry. He was always looking to the side, to the left and the right of who he was. He was always mindful of the people. And what really sticks out to me is there was a specific encounter that Jesus has. It's in Luke 24. And what had happened was, you know, Jesus was crucified. He was killed. And he was brought back to life, and he's walking, right?
Mm-hmm.
He comes back to life. He's resurrected. And the people who are his followers are just devastated, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's walking with them, and they're about to go another way, and he's about to continue going. And they tell him, and the Bible says that they urged him strongly to come with them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at it, though, that's not where Jesus was originally heading. And the Bible says that it's like they were basically, hey, walk with us, walk with us, walk with us.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at that, he changed the direction of where he was originally walking to spend time with people. That wasn't his end goal. He was, if you think about it, he had this direction and he took off on an exit ramp of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
To spend time with people. And where that ends up is that they were breaking bread, and when Jesus broke the bread, their eyes were opened.
Mm.
And another one, I think about the woman that had the issue of blood. And what happened was, Jesus was walking, his disciples were around him, there was a crowd pressing around him so much that he couldn't even like walk normally. That this woman who had the faith of just responding to the presence of Jesus, she came up from behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd never seen that before, but it was just like, again, I mean, Jesus is God. I mean, he could have been aware of this.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible talks about when she touched him, her mindset was, if I can just touch his cloak, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed.
All right.
But she came up from behind him. Jesus was walking in a direction. Somebody touched him in such a way that it caused him to turn around.
Mm-hmm.
And that so sticks out to me, because when you look at it, Jesus was always going the speed limit of love. He never sped, if you will, in that story of speed limits and how fast you're driving. And the question is, how fast are you walking? How fast are you living through your life? Are you speeding past the people? Are you speeding past the speed limits of the relationships in your life? And the reason why it's so caught up with me, because it's just like how I can say, like when you're driving and you kind of go into that, you know, you're familiar with your processes of, okay, hey, this is 25, 35. How many people just kind of go into the cruise moment of, okay, well, this is the baseball diamond. Okay, we're at practice. Or, oh, I'm at the job. Okay, you know, we're at the dinner table. Mm-hmm. Okay, then I can go a little bit faster here and there. And the question is, though, just like you're in that moment when you stop and ask that person next to you, hey, what's the speed limit sign here? What are those people that are next to you? You might be going 45, but what if the person next to you is going 25?
Right.
What they might be saying, hey, I'm only 35, and you just drove right past them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so significant, because it's just like we can be doing so much. We can be on that freeway, if you will, in our life, going 75, while there's a rural exit of someone who's in need, but they're at a speed limit of 25.
Right.
We can be doing so much, getting so much done, driving right past the very people that are saying, hey, do you know about Jesus?
Mm.
Hey, is Jesus here? And what sticks out to me, too, is you look at it in Matthew 15, Jesus is saying that he's talking about religious people, the Pharisees of the day. And he's like, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And that's so significant, because we can be doing so much, but it's like, are our hearts with the people that got us placed next to us? And what sticks out to me even greater is that when you think about it, when you're driving, you see a stop sign.
Mm-hmm.
And a stop sign causes you to slow down. It causes you to say, okay, I can't do 45 through the stop sign. It's not exactly legal, but you got to stop. And as I was praying about this, and the God was revealing this to me, of just like how important it is for us to slow down to the pace of love, it's significant that the color of a stop sign and the color of your heart is the same color. You know, it's red. It's love. That's the huge thing. And it's just like in our culture, we got to remind ourselves there is so much the fast pace motion of our culture, the hustle and bustle of just our daily schedules. And it's just like, we got to stop. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if we are, you know, speeding past the speed limit of love, it's like, dear God, help me to slow down to the pace of people.
Mm-hmm.
We can never go faster than however fast it is to be able to carry on relationship, to be able to love people where they're at. And it's like, okay, hey, great. You're at 45 right now, but there's somebody right next to you that's going through driving school.
Mm-hmm.
They're just learning how to grow in their relationship with the Lord. Slow down and love them where they're at. When we stop to the people that are next to us, you'd be surprised that in those encounters, Jesus says, it's like anywhere where there's two or more gathered in my name, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
When you break bread with people, when you sit down and have a cup of coffee with them, watch how God may even open up your eyes to a revelation of who Jesus is that you may have never encountered.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the powerful thing is like, I mean, that's, ask you that question, you know, are you speeding right now? Because I know there's areas in my life that God showed me, and it's just like, I got to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think one of the greatest travesties, if we were to look back on our day, look back on our life, and see the people that we just walked right past.
Mm-hmm.
And something that somebody said to me recently that just was so powerful was that it's better to fail at a task than it is to fail at a relationship. And the greatest thing that we have is the gift of people alongside of us. And if we know Jesus, we have the greatest gift,
mm-hmm.
the gift of the good news. And there's no greater way that we can love people than sharing them with Jesus and sharing Jesus with them. And that's such a powerful perspective. And I just want to challenge you right now to just ask God to give you that grace to slow down to the pace of love. And if there's areas in your life where you're speeding, the Holy Spirit can empower you. The Holy Spirit can help you. If when you allow God to drive the so-called car of your life, the steering wheel of your life, when you surrender to the Lordship of Jesus, He will drive you. He will show you, hey, I got something. Take off on an exit ramp here. Mm-hmm. And the most beautiful thing is when we're spending time with Him, we're going to know those unctions of His direction, of His voice, and we won't miss the people. And I just want to encourage you to live out a life at the speed limit of love, at the speed limit of the people to the next of you, to the left and to the right. It's a beautiful moment. It's a beautiful day. And it's just loving God, love others, and lead others wherever you're at.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. We'll be right back.
my goodness. Listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded into your stuff somehow, and you can play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. Buy the, we're giving it to you. There it's you yours. Yes. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast.